But you get to know the author just by hearing the Kevalasthakam. We don't have his name, but you can understand his devotion. And somehow, intuitively, somehow there's some connection between this unknown author and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his followers. So it's just simply glorification, appreciation of the wonderful features of the holy name of Sri Hari. So you can just follow along.
Sadavasetatra. Aho dukham mahadukham dukha dukha taram yata.
Harirnam eva kevalam. How many have heard this song before? Many. When we started this event some years ago, Buddha Hari Prabhu teased us with this song, and we became addicted to him and the song. And so it became the song that we sang again and again and again and again. Very short, very melodic, and full of inspiration. Those of you that are visiting for the first time, or newcomers in general, it seems pretty obvious we're a musical group. So if you're not very musical, it's okay. Just hang around and you'll get musical. And if you happen to sit next to somebody that can't carry a tune, don't be surprised. Because there's a lot of such people that they are inspired. And it seems to me that some of the people that sing the loudest are the ones that sing off tune. I'll make no further comment. But the essence of the Hare Krishna movement is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Actually, we didn't call ourselves the Hare Krishna movement. The media called us the Hare Krishna movement because that's what we do. Hare Krishna chanting. And when you have something that's very nice, and you're enjoying that something that's very nice, you'll like to have the opportunity at least to give others the chance to have that something that's very nice. So madharam, let's go back to the first. Madharam madhare vop. Sweeter than the sweetest thing. It's the sweetest of all sweet things. Madhu. Madhu has different meanings. One of them is honey. And sometimes it can even just mean the bee that produces the honey, madhu. But the holy name is madhu most. Madhuram madhare bop. Amongst all sweet things, it's the most sweet. But it's so sweet that it's not, oh, I'm going to keep it to myself. It, even if one has a selfish propensity, that gets changed quickly by experiencing it. The sweetness expands. There's a wonderful section of the life of Lord Chaitanya where it describes he had a storehouse, big treasure chest, of the sweetness of love for Krishna, storehouse of love for Krishna. And he plundered that storehouse, and as he began distributing the storehouse of love for Krishna, something very amazing happened. The contents increased. So he distributed more, and the contents increased. And then he began to consider, I only have so many hands. I need some help to distribute this storehouse of love for Krishna. So many persons came and joined him in distributing the contents of that storehouse of love for Krishna. And it kept increasing and increasing. And he envisioned that the whole world be flooded with love for Krishna. The ocean of ananda, anandam ambudi, the ocean of different kind of ocean, ocean of love for Krishna. Through this chanting, Madharam Madhare Pyopi Mangalam, Mangala, those of you that visit the temple at 4:30 in the morning, you can join us for Mangala Aarti. Mangala Aarti is the auspicious Aarti when we greet the Lord after His siesta, His transcendental rest. Mangala Aarti. So Mangala, auspicious. Amongst auspicious things, it's the supermost auspicious thing. And so it's not a material auspicious, it's a transcendental auspicious. It brings everything. Pavanam. It's so pure. The holy name is so pure. It's transcendentally pure, but it's so pure, powerfully pure, that by contact with anything that's less than pure, it becomes pure. Prabhupada's explanation is, what happens when the sun comes in contact with some puddle of contaminated something? He said urine, puddle of urine. What happens? Does the sun become contaminated, or the place that's contaminated become purified? The water gets evaporated and the impurity is left behind in contact with the rays of the sun. So similarly, in contact with this supremely pure sound vibration, even if one doesn't know what it is, that's okay. Just hear it. It has such an effect. Even unknowingly, we were hearing, just for the benefit of all of you that weren't here with us, the acharya, the teacher for the chanting of holy name Haridas Thakur, said to one brahmana, the human form of life has a tongue that has the capacity to vibrate the holy name. So it's better to vibrate the holy name aloud or audibly than just in your mind, because other forms of life, they may not have a tongue that can chant the holy name, but they can hear. So an insect or a bird or a beast, if they hear, they also become delivered by that pure sound vibration. It gives a nice example. Supposing you feed yourself, or you feed thousands of other people and feed yourself. It's good you feed yourself. And it's better if you can have the capacity to feed yourself and thousands of other people at the same time. So this sankirtan, that congregational chanting like we like to do here in the temple and go out in the public, and you can join us tomorrow. We're going to go here and there and take this holy name out of the temple, out into the public, and people go, wow, we were just waiting. Where have you guys been? Some people will say that, and some people will say something else. But in any case, there's purification taking place just by hearing. Just by hearing. It's so beneficial. Next. So this is the second of the eight stanzas. Lord Brahma, that's first word. He's the chief engineer of the universe. He gets the blueprint and the ingredients and the empowerment to create the universe, and he creates the universe. So the creator of the universe, down to the littlest thing that he creates in the universe, it's all temporary. It's something, but it's insubstantial. Insubstantial in the sense that it's temporary. Just like, this is a nice table, very functional. We can put things on it and it has different purposes. And there was a time when it wasn't a table, it was a tree. And then there's a time when it's not going to be a table, it's going to be ashes or something else. Smoke and flames and pile of ashes. And then go back to the earth and then become something else and become. So it's all of the temporary nature. And that which is temporary isn't sat or substantial. Sat exists eternally. And the holy name, the verse is saying, in this world, it's one of the things, the soul is also eternal. And within the heart is the super soul who is also eternal. And of the same eternal nature is this holy name. It's that very special kind of, not just sound, but entity, a thing, a force, a person. Because the name Krishna and the person Krishna, they're the same. That's pretty interesting. Let's do that again. The name and the person, abhinatvam nama namino. Water, the sound, water, and the object, they're different. I can't quench my thirst by saying as many times as I like, water, 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 water. I'll become more parched instead of quenched of thirst. The name and the object named are different. But spiritual sound, the name and the object named are none different. Should I do it again? It's really important. I'll do it again. Three times. Abhinatvam nama namino. This is Padma Purana. Nama and nami. The name and the object named are abhina. It's not true for material things or material sound or material objects and the names of those objects. The word table and the object, you can't put your book on the word. You can put your book on the table. There's a difference. But in spiritual reality, there's no difference. So that means we're associating with the fullness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the source of everything, just by saying. And we say it a lot. Krishna. And therefore, there's purification. And, back. Satyam, satyam, puna, satyam. Now, satya means truth, but it also means reality. Reality is something that doesn't change. Something that changes isn't reality. It's ephemeral. Now you see it. And now it's gone. And it may take a flash, or it may take 100 years, or it may take longer. But now you see it, now you don't. It's temporary. And then there's that which isn't temporary. That's reality. Sat. So having the quality of sat is satyam. And in this world, this name of Krishna is Sat. All around us is Asat. There's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, amongst many. Nasate vijite bhavo no bhavo vijite sataha. Ubayor api drishtontas tvanyas tattva darshi bihi. A tattva darshi is a seer of the truth, and a seer of the truth doesn't place much value in asat. Now you see it, now you don't. Like the magician. Here's my hat. Have you seen people do this? There's a devotee that has a trick like this. He shows you his hat. There's nothing in the hat. Look it. Pull the hat inside, outside, reach in. He doesn't pull a rabbit out of the hat, but he pulls a scarf or something out of the hat. So there's no rabbit in the hat, but then he pulls the rabbit out of the hat, puts the rabbit back in the hat, and there's no rabbit. Now you see it, now you don't. So like that, now you see it, now you don't. And we're like children. We just keep watching the same trick of now you see it, now you don't, and think that's it. The asat. But the advocacy of the verse is satyam, satyam, param satyam. There's only that this is reality. And you connect with reality, you turn the light on, darkness is dispelled. The sense of the asat being reality, it fades. And reality comes into focus. It works. Try it. Chant Krishna's holy name. And reality comes to the foreground and the temporary fades. Its importance to you fades. You work with it. You deal with it. I hope. Pay your taxes and pay your bills and do the things that you're supposed to be doing. But the essence is not that. The essence is reality. Satyam. Satyam. Param Satyam. Next. Number three. During our discussions yesterday, there was some, we touched on this topic, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in some songs that he wrote. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one of our teachers in previous generations, great teachers, acharyas. He taught the same thing in one of his songs. It's not an accident. It's a standard message. We all have relationships in this world, and they're different kinds of relationships, but at some part of our life, we have persons who are looking up to us, whether you're a parent or a teacher or a friend or some kind of relationship where others are looking to you and depending upon you. Just, we're social beings. Life is like that. So a true friend or a true parent or a true teacher or a true relationship is where this truth is satyam, satyam, param, satyam, is conveyed. So we're gathering together to share that with one another and with all of you who are our guests coming. That's friendship. That's spiritual friendship. It's very simple. It doesn't cost anything. Doesn't require high education. It doesn't require born in a certain family or a certain color or a certain nation or a certain language. A little cheering. Today's Sunday. Tuesday evening, I'm heading on a flight to China. Long journey. And I've shared this with other audiences, but I don't mind sharing it again and again. Chinese people, in the Chinese language, there isn't a name for God. You know, between Buddhism and Confucianism and the other isms that are part of their Chinese tradition, there isn't a God concept. So I'm going to emphasize it a little bit further. Words are symbols of something. So like table. The word table is a sound of something, an object that you know, so you give it a name, table. But supposing you don't even have a concept of something, so you don't have a name for that something. They don't have a concept. There's not a word to match the concept, because there isn't one. When they translated Bhagavad Gita, they had to make something up. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said they had to make something up, because there isn't a concept. You got it? So then we go to China and we chant Hare Krishna. I've had this experience multiple times in audiences, completely new audiences. Really simple kirtan. They don't have, you know, what we have here in Chicago with wonderful kirtaniers and instruments and things. Just simple singing. Maybe a dozen times. After kirtan, somebody raises their hand and says, could you explain what happened when this singing was going on? Tears were coming to my eyes. My whole body was trembling. I was feeling an emotion I've never felt before. What was that? And there's no concept. There's no like a cultural, oh, I know what that is. It's something moves in the heart through this sound vibration. If one's heart is simple, if your heart is complicated, something else is going to happen. It'll bounce. The same thing won't happen. But when hearts are soft, it's not a cultural thing or a linguistic thing. It's a spiritual thing. The sound of Krishna's name is Krishna. And Krishna's name, when it enters into the chamber of the heart, it moves the heart with emotions that one has never experienced before, at least in these cases, this lifetime. Some people said, oh, was I doing something wrong? Doing something right. Here, with attention, and the soft heart becomes jubilant with the sound of Krishna's name. The sound dances within the chamber of the heart. So I'm going to now go to Rupa Goswami. Some of you don't know any of these people, but on the altar, way over on the right, below Lord Jagannath, there's a picture of six Goswamis of Vrindavan. One of them is Rupa Goswami, followers of Lord Chaitanya. So he wrote this drama, and in the introductory verse to the drama about Krishna's pastimes starts with the name. And he says, paraphrasing because it's in Sanskrit, how much nectar are in the syllables of these two syllables, Krishna? How can one estimate? When, three things. When the tongue vibrates the name of Krishna, it's as if Krishna is dancing on one's tongue, because he is. And one desires many, many tongues, many mouths. And then that sound goes to the ear. And when that sound enters into the ear, such nectar, one desires millions of ears. That would look funny. But one desires to hear the nectar of the sound vibration of Krishna's name. And then, when that sound, the name, enters into the courtyard of the heart, the mind becomes stunned and the senses become inert. Krishna dances in the courtyard of one's heart. Now that's Rupa Goswami's chanting. But the sweetness and the auspiciousness and the purity and the power of the holy name and the person Krishna and the sound Krishna are non-different if we can simply hear with a simple heart. Now we'll go to number six. Pretty good. Oh! What sorrow. Dukkha. There are these opposites, two words, sukha and dukkha. Sukha is what people want, and dukkha is what they don't want. Distress, sorrow, suffering, misery, difficulty. Now maybe some of you out there are free from any of that, but most of the rest of us know this one. Dukkha. Yehi samsparsha cha bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the living entity, samsparsha ja bhoga, they bring their senses to objects with the expectation of happiness, bhoga, enjoyment. It's a setup. It's a formula for bringing dukkha. Dukkha yonaya evate. The Sanskrit word yona or yoni means a place of birth, like the womb of a mother is a yoni, or the place of birth of dukkha is expecting sukha by bringing the senses to sense objects. That's the design. And the designer made it like that, and he's uttering, that's the design. So what to do? Take shelter of the holy name. Take shelter of, here we are in this world, we're strangers in a strange land. There was a book by that name, wasn't it? Strangers in a Strange Land. We don't belong here. Where do we belong? We belong in the spiritual atmosphere. But in the material atmosphere, there's this temptation, or more than temptation, craving for happiness by bringing the senses in contact with an object. The sense of touch, the sense of smell, the sense of hearing, sense of taste, or all of them combined, or some combination. Enjoying the senses in the field of the sense objects. Expecting happiness. It's life. It's material life. And it's the birthplace, it's the yoni of dukkha. So this author is lamenting, oh-ho, dukkham, maha-dukkham. It's four times. Dukkhad, dukkhataram yata. What's that dukkha? What's the most distressful, sorrowful thing? Kachartam vismritam ratna. I don't know much Hindi. There's some persons in our audience, that's their mother tongue, Hindi. But I learned this word kacha quickly when visiting India. Kacha means poor quality, low grade, like, you know, rice that's really crummy or something, or cloth that's really crummy or something that's crummy, kacha. So that's kachartam. Artam, artha is something that you want. Artha, dharma artha kama moksha. Economic development is commonly how artha is translated, because that's what people want. They want prosperity. But literally the meaning of the word is something desirable. Kacha artam. So it's being translated as a piece of glass. I was chasing after a piece of broken glass. Instead of vismritam ratna, neglecting or forgetting or paying no attention to this ratna, this jewel. I was after a piece of broken glass instead of this jewel. How unfortunate. Oh, dukkham. And that's what I got. I got dukkha instead of this jewel of the holy name. So that's what we've been doing this weekend so far, and two more days to go. Trying to appreciate this jewel of the holy name. Not so that we can feel now we're rich. Not in a material sense of rich, but spiritually prospering. Spiritually maturing and growing and becoming nourished. And we're happy to share that experience with all of you. Many of you come regularly. I see some persons here that come regularly. I see some persons I've never seen before. Those of you that haven't been here before, I hope you appreciate this jewel that is being extended to you. It's not a material jewel. And it's, according to what we've been hearing this weekend from great souls, it's the most auspicious of all spiritual practices, in part because it takes away this tendency, it takes away the tendency to be the enjoyer of the temporary and puts in its place the enjoyer of one's relationship with the Supreme. It just has that power. So come and join us regularly. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Sunday classes are supposed to be short. So this is a short one. Any discussion? Comments or questions from anybody? And if not, you're going to make some announcements? So everybody knows what to do next. The Prasadam Hall, where we serve. There's a hand up over here. For those that have not been here, you'll see the grand exit go that way and then up the stairs, and that's where they are serving the vegetarian meal. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to know a little bit about this song. Since
this song?
Yes, Maharaj. If we don't know if it's in the disciplic line,
our acharyas have accepted it.
Yes.
Starting for sure, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The name. It's just like in Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, it's a list of different beautiful, beautiful verses. Some of the authors are known and some are unknown. But Rupa Goswami is accepting them, and so we accept them. Although the author is unknown, his acceptance is our acceptance.
Just a brief follow-up question. If there's other bhajan songs that are sung, Vaishnava bhajan songs, is it okay to sing those bhajan songs if you're
It depends. We are followers of our disciplic line. So for those of us that are not acharyas, you and me and most of the rest of us, we follow our great acharyas. Yadir acharati shreshtas tat tat eve tarorjana. That's what we do. Now, just like during our program yesterday, we sang together. Shatarupa sang and we sang along with her a recording of Namalvar. In Tamil, I don't know Tamil, but the words were projected on the screen, and it's glorification of the holy name and the congregational chanting of the holy name. So our acharyas have recognized those songs of Namalvar, and so we sing them. That's a criterion for us. We're not, I think that's sufficient, huh? Yes.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I was wondering, you know how English is arbitrary, right? The objects.
It's arbitrary?
The words and the objects are arbitrary. They have no correlation.
They're not absolute. Arbitrary is the wrong word. It's not absolute.
Yeah.
It's
so, in Sanskrit, is Sanskrit the same as just the Mahamantra? Because Krishna is
yes.
The words.
So yes.
Is all Sanskrit that way or just Mahamantra?
Interesting question. Well, the language itself is not absolute. But Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, they are. You follow?
Kind of.
Supposing, you know, I go to Harvard University and get a degree in Sanskrit and I write something in Sanskrit. It's not absolute.
Right.
It's Sanskrit language. But Krishna speaking is absolute.
Thank you.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.